sing that song or someone else leads that song, I remember when I was very, very young in this congregation, there were two brothers, Cecil Hicks, and I don't remember the other brother's name, but one of the brothers, and I don't remember which, got up with the teenagers, and we sang that song probably before church or after church one time, and then he had me do a responsive reading. I don't even remember what it was. But that was, I'm not going to tell you how long ago it was, but it was a long time ago. I doubt if anyone remembers but me, but that is a memory I will always have. Brethren, I really, really, really appreciate the attendance tonight. I was thinking this morning, probably when Christmas falls as it does this year, it's going to affect our attendance more than any other day that it might fall, because a lot of people are off tomorrow as well as Tuesday, and because of that, they probably have already gone. I probably could name 40 of our members that have already told me that they are already traveling. They wouldn't be here. Barry did not mention, but a virus has hit the Letterden house, so they're all feeling bad. That's another 5 or 6 with her parents. Hopefully, they'll be feeling better. They're planning on going to College Station. A lot of people were here this morning, and they would say, I'm not going to shake hands with you because I'm still having this terrible crud. Linda went to the doctor last week, and she's not getting out tonight. We also know Bob is in the hospital. Others are confined. So probably more than any time in the history of Shan Jackson, this has affected our attendance more. Plus, we used to get more visitors on Christmas, and now it seems that our congregation travels more over Christmas. But I really, really, really appreciate you coming out tonight and being here with us. For a text tonight, I want to turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to be in the second chapter of Philippians. I'm going to use verses 14 and 15. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the gist of the entire chapter, or at least the gist of this context, by paraphrase, and then specifically I'm going to read verse 15. But in this context, the Apostle Paul is writing about a Christian's need to be obedient to God. It is in this context that Paul says that we as Christians work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, Paul is not saying that you and I have the privilege of determining the plan of salvation to use, but because of our obedience, we will be able to plug ourselves in to God's plan, and thereby we'll be able to work out our salvation. We'll be able to find the salvation process. Also in this context, Paul says that God is working with us, and I want to add, he's working through us in order to fulfill his purpose. God has a purpose for every Christian's life. We need to realize that. We need to help discover that purpose, and we need to fulfill that purpose in our life. And when we allow God to work through us and in us and beside us, as Paul says, we shouldn't complain about it. The translation I'm going to read says grumbling. I'm going to mention other words that are used in different translations. Now, normally, I would be reading our text, verse 15, from the King James Version. However, I'm finding myself using the New King James even more often. But tonight, I'm going to read from the NIV. The reason I'm going to read from the NIV this verse is because the last part of this verse is serving as the title of my lesson, and also as we get into the lesson and I begin to explain, you will see why this translation's wording is going to serve better my sermon tonight. So I'll be reading verse 15 from the NIV. Then you will be pure and without blame. Now remember the context. We've been obedient to God. We've worked out our own salvation. Then you will be pure and without blame. You will be the children of God without fault among sinful and evil people. Then you will, among those sinful and evil people, and here's the phraseology I want, you will shine as stars in the sky. You will shine as stars in the sky. The King James Version and the New King James Version say, you will be lights in the world. The American Standard, the English Standard, and even the Revised Standard also says, lights in the world. Now remember that. We'll be back to that in just a moment. I would imagine all of us are very familiar with the old standard Christian song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Now that was based on a poem written by a man named Lovelady all the way back in 1776. That is an old song. Now over the years, various artists have taken the liberty of painting artwork. Some have even entitled it Rock of Ages. There are several. The one I want to call your attention to was drawn by a man named Johannes Ortel. Now, Mr. Ortel was born in Vienna, but he was living in the United States when he wrote the song made the artwork in 1823. Now, if you just look at the time frame, it's quite possible that the artist of the artwork had at least seen the poem that was written by Mr. Toplady. The poem Rock of Ages was not set to music until 1830. So it is possible, maybe even probable, that he was at least familiar with that poem. Now in his painting, like the song, he visualizes for us a terrible storm. And there is a lady who is the main theme of his artwork. Now she is lost at sea. The clouds are dark and foreboding. There's lightning crashes. And here is this lady lost at sea. Now, we don't know what happened. Maybe she was in a boat that was capsized. Maybe she was on the shore and swept out to sea. We don't know. But envision now, if you will, that artist's rendering of a lady who is desperately trying to pull herself up on this rock. And then you realize by looking at the rock that it is in the shape of a cross. Of course, that represents the cross of Jesus Christ. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Now let's get back to the text. The translation I use said stars in the sky. Others say light in the world. Now the reason I chose the first is because we're so familiar with lights being on. I would imagine the first thing Charles does when he opens up is turns on all the lights. When we go home tonight after church, first thing we're going to do is turn on the lights. We might be able to clap on and clap off. I don't know. We turn on the lights. We just get used to the lights being on. When we leave, it's going to be dark outside. We're going to turn on the lights. And most modern cars, the lights come on automatically. So we just take lights being on for granted. We would notice if the lights were off, but we don't notice that the lights are on. Everywhere we go, lights are shining. They're just normal, but not stars. If you've ever been outside, and especially at night in the cool of the fall, and it's very, very clear, and you look up into the sky and you see literally millions and millions and millions of stars, I will assure you, if you have ever done that, you are going to be impressed. They are special. That's what Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture. You and I, as stars in the sky, are special. And God wants us to be special. But in this same context, Paul mentions some things that would hinder our being stars in the sky, hinder us from being special. The King James uses the words murmuring and disputing. The New King James says complaining and disputing. English Standard says grumbling and disputing. NIV says grumbling and arguing. I don't think any of us can miss what Paul is saying here. And what he's saying is that since you and I are in Christ, we need to take advantage of the joy that's prepared for us in Christ. We've got it so good in Christ, and I'm going to use my terminology here, we need to stop whining and just live for Christ. Now, I don't want this lesson to turn negative at all. I don't like to preach in a negative tone, though some lessons need to be. But reading what I have read so far and saying what I've said so far, who can you think of in the Old Testament that sounds like, this murmuring and complaining? Well, of course, it's the Israelites. When the Israelites were freed from Egyptian captivity, they leave, they're headed to the promised land, and they begin to murmur and complain. In my preparation for this lesson, I found that the same words that Paul used describing how we can lessen our ability to be stars in the sky, the same words he used were used in the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint is the first Greek translation of the whole Bible. It's especially important for the Old Testament because it helps us understand the words closer to the original than at any other time. The same words that are used in the Septuagint, Paul uses here in the New Testament. To describe the Israelites, they were murmuring, complaining, grumbling, arguing, and so forth. Now, I'm not saying pro or con, but have you ever realized how much similarity there is between the Israelites and us? First of all, we both were in bondage. The Israelites were carried into Egyptian captivity. Actually, they were not carried. They went to Egypt as the people of Joseph, but they became slaves. They were under bondage, and you and I are under the bondage of sin. We certainly understand that. We both were freed from that bondage by a divine act. God told Moses, "Go and secure the release of my children." Pharaoh didn't let him go on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth plague, but the tenth plague, the death of the firstborn, God's divine act, he let the people go. Changed his mind, but he let the people go. And Jesus died on the cross. That was the divine act that secured our freedom. Third, we both wandered. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of a lack of faith. We wander through this world. This world is not our home. We're just wandering from struggle to struggle, temptation to temptation. They were headed toward the promised land. We're headed toward heaven. So, in a strong sense, the Old Testament Israelites were a type and shadow of Christianity. Now, there are certain things, I believe, that cause us to murmur and complain. I'm only speaking for myself. I don't know if you do that or not. But I look at politics. I look at the economy. I look at things like that, and I'll assure you, I murmur and complain because things are happening that are just not fair. They're just not fair. And many times, if you're like me, I begin to wonder, why is this happening? I think that's human nature, but it is happening for a purpose. Why, though, do I wonder why when God has set me free? Why do I worry about politics or worry about the economy when God has set me free? You remember what Peter says, God has provided for all of our needs, spiritual and physical. God has given us all things that pertain to life, and he's given us all things that pertain to godliness. So just as they were preparing for Canaan, you and I are preparing for heaven. Now, I don't know if it was common where you grew up, but when I grew up in this congregation, the preacher quite often would say, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And he was absolutely right. And therefore, I'm giving myself this information. Take it if you want to. I need to stop whining and start winning. I need to stop complaining and find the joy that God has for me in Christ. Paul says, if Paul is the penman God used for the Hebrew letter, in chapter 13, verse 5, I need to be content. Whatever the situation is, I need to be content. I also need to be cheerful. I need to be cheerful and share my faith. I noticed in Mike's prayer tonight, he said something that a lot of our men do. We need to share our faith with the world. Maybe that was not the wording, but we need to let people see Jesus living in us. We need to be cheerful about that. And brethren, when we realize how God has blessed us so abundantly, when we realize how thankful we need to be for all of God's blessing, when we realize that the more faith that we show, the better for us and the better for those around us. And if we don't, then we cannot be stars in the sky. We cannot be special. And that's what God wants us to be. Now, is everything going to be fair? Probably not. But in the end, it's just not going to matter. And let's just suppose, let's eliminate the blessings that God gives us. Let's eliminate the spiritual blessings that come through Jesus. If salvation was the only thing the Lord ever gave us, salvation was the only thing the Lord ever gave us, it would still be worth it. And we would never be able to thank Him for the blessings He gave us. That will cause us to grow. That will cause us to reach out into the world. That will allow us to be stars in the sky. May we be encouraged by these words. Perhaps tonight there's one or more who need to respond to the Lord's invitation. If it's you, won't you come as we stand together and sing this song?